Good morning, brothers and sisters. This morning, I'm going to be talking about the subject of identity. And identity is a really important thing. Sometimes people go through what's called an identity crisis, where they're not really quite sure what their identity is anymore. And you may ask, what exactly is this identity crisis? What, if you haven't been reading up on psychology, Jeff over there studied psychology, so he knows exactly what all this is. But for the rest of you who haven't read the Wikipedia article on identity crises, let me just summarize. So an identity crisis is what happens when you're trying to figure out who you're supposed to be. And it usually happens for the first time when someone starts to become a teenager. Because up to that point, they've kind of been whatever their parents wanted them to be. And then you start to become a teenager and you can make your own decisions. So up to this point, you have always used Crest toothpaste because that's what your parents bought for you. But now you have money of your own and you can buy any toothpaste you want. Now that's kind of a trivial decision, but there are also like larger things as well. So up to that point, you have been a Canadian because you grew up in Canada. It was forced on you. You didn't have much of a choice. But when you start becoming like a teenager and maybe a little older, you can make your own decisions. If you want to move to the United States, you can. And so this is where like you get this identity crisis, where up to this point you've had an identity that's sort of been forced on you by your circumstances, by your parents, by where you've grown up, by how you've grown up, by what things you're good at. And now you can make your own decisions. You don't have to be that person anymore. And so people sometimes strike out on their own and choose a different identity. For instance, just because your parents raised you as a Christadelphian doesn't mean you have to be a Christadelphian. That's actually why Christadelphians make such a big deal about when we baptize people, we don't baptize them as babies. Because if you baptize someone as a baby, then that identity is being thrust on them. They're not making that decision themselves. We don't baptize people until they're able to make an independent decision and choose the identity of being in Christ as a Christadelphian themselves. And that's why baptism doesn't typically happen until adolescence, because until then you haven't established your own identity. Now, to be fair, an identity crisis doesn't only have to happen at adolescence. It can also happen when something integral to the identity you've already chosen gets changed by an external circumstance. So for instance, say your identity is that I am going to be a basketball player and I'm going to be the best basketball player ever, or at least I'll be in the NBA, which is pretty close. And then your leg has to be amputated. That would cause an identity crisis, because all of a sudden you can't be that best basketball player anymore because external circumstances have changed. So from that identity crisis, then you have to make a new decision. Who am I going to be now? I can't be a basketball player. Maybe I can be a wheelchair basketball player. Maybe I can be a basketball coach. Or maybe I should just like get a desk job and like forget the whole basketball thing because I'm stuck in a wheelchair for the rest of my life. But that's also a time when identity crisis has come up, when all of a sudden life doesn't work out exactly the way you thought it would be. So in Jeremiah, I think we've been reading about a country actually that's been going through an identity crisis. And this is the country of Israel. In Jeremiah chapter 2, God talks about the way he raised Israel. This is Jeremiah chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 2 and 3, which, to be honest, every time I read it, I go, this is sort of rose-colored glasses. But at the same time, it's an example of God talking about what he raised Israel to be. So, reading from Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, I remember the devotion of your youth, your love as a bride, how you followed me in the wilderness, in a land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest. All who ate of it incurred guilt, disaster came upon them, declares the Lord. So he's talking about how Israel, when it was, you know, a young little nation, was following around in the wilderness and mostly was doing what God wanted. This is why he's being a little optimistic here. But he's talking about how this is what Israel was like at the beginning of its time as a country. And then as it matured, it started to make its own decisions. Go over now to verse 20 of Jeremiah chapter 2. That's where it says, Indeed, long ago you threw off my authority and refused to be subject to me. You said, I will not serve you. Instead, you gave yourself to other gods in every high hill and under every green tree, like a prostitute sprawls out before her lovers. Not very nice. But what he's saying is that Israel was raised to serve God from the very time it started as a nation. It began as a nation because God called it out of Egypt and God said, you are going to be my people. And then Israel sort of became a rebellious teenager and decided that it was going to do its own thing. It was going to serve the gods it wanted to serve, and that didn't happen to be the gods. It was the God who raised it. And unfortunately, stories like this are not uncommon among human beings as well. I know far too many examples, unfortunately, of people who were raised as Christadelphians and then chose to forsake the values that they were raised with and chose another more promiscuous identity. And that's true both spiritually and literally. And sometimes that's not always a bad thing, to choose another identity when you become an adolescent, when you go through that identity crisis. Sometimes the way you were raised is actually wrong. So, for instance, there would be no Christadelphians today if John Thomas, who was the very first Christadelphian, hadn't had an identity crisis. He had an identity crisis when he was sailing over from Britain to America, and he got caught in a storm, and he thought he was going to die, and then he decided, wait a second, I need to make religion part of my identity. I need to figure out this whole God thing, because otherwise, like, I've got something missing here. I need to change who I am. And that can be a good thing. There are lots of people who are raised, say, as atheists, and then when they get older, they go through an identity crisis where they realize, wait a second, I need to find something more in my life than simply what I can see and the material world around me, and start looking for God and have an identity crisis and adopt one. And a lot of Christadelphians have become Christadelphians because of an identity crisis. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. But if you start off with a good identity and then you have an identity crisis and rebel against it, which is the way Israel did, then it can be a bad thing. And it's actually interesting, sort of the identity crisis particularly that Israel is going through, because right now it is actually that time of crisis. When an identity crisis is over, you've already picked your identity. You know who you are. But Israel at this time isn't quite sure who they are. Let me read from verse 32 of Jeremiah 2. Does a young woman forget to put on her jewels? Does a bride forget to put on her bridal attire? But my people have forgotten me for more days than can be even counted. My, how good you have become at chasing after your lovers. Why, you could even teach prostitutes a thing or two. Even your clothes are stained with the lifeblood of the poor who had not done anything wrong. You did not catch them breaking into your houses. Yet, in spite of all these things that you have done, you say, I have not done anything wrong, so the Lord cannot really be angry with me anymore. But watch out, I will bring down judgment on you because you say, I have not committed any sin. So here we have this interesting case where Israel is doing really horrible stuff, but at the same time they're going, no, I'm fine, I'm doing the right thing. They're sort of like, they're trying to put on that good girl act, but they're actually a bad girl on the inside. And you've got this whole like double-minded thing going on. I'm a good girl, but actually she's not a good girl. And the interesting thing to remember about this is when the book of Jeremiah was written. We flip back to chapter 1 of Jeremiah. Let me read the first two verses, which tell us when this is happening. Remember, we're reading from Jeremiah chapter 2, which was right at the beginning of the book of Jeremiah. And reading from Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1, the following is a record of what Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, prophesied. He was one of the priests who lived in Anathoth in the territory of the tribe of Benjamin. The Lord began to speak to him in the 13th year that Josiah, son of Ammon, ruled over Judah. Now, if you know your kings, you know Josiah was actually one of the best kings of Judah. It says in 2 Kings 22, verse 2, he did what the Lord approved and followed in his ancestor David's footsteps. He did not deviate to the right or the left. Or in 2 Kings 23, 25, no king before or after repented before the Lord as he did, with his whole heart, soul, and being in accordance with the whole law of Moses. Josiah was a super good king, and yet we're reading in the book of Jeremiah about Israel, where Israel is behaving horribly, but they think that they're doing fine. And so you end up with sort of this situation where Israel has been a bad girl, and then Josiah comes along and is like trying to pull it, kicking and screaming, into being a good girl again. So like, comb your hair, wash yourself, take a shower, put on nice clothes, look good. And this is all you're going to be going to church now and all this sort of stuff. But she still kind of wants to be a bad girl. So it's going through an identity crisis. She is sort of wants to be a good girl because there are major advantages to being a good girl, but she also wants to be a bad girl too, and she's kind of being pulled in both directions. And unfortunately, as we know, as the story goes, after Josiah died, the bad girl identity sort of won, and things went really downhill from there. So, and then Israel received the consequences of her actions too. Because that's another thing about identities. You can choose an identity, but you can choose a really bad identity. We all have a choice to make, but choices do have consequences. For instance, say you choose the identity of a party animal. So you want to be the sort of person who goes to every party, and you do a lot of drinking and drugs and whatever else they do at parties, and have a great time and stay up super late, and then you also get the consequences of that, which is because you're spending all your time partying, you don't tend to do too well at anything else in life, and as a result, you end up doing badly in school, you can't hold down a job, you get kicked out of your house by your parents, you try and mooch off your friends, but then they get annoyed with you too, and you end up having this identity crisis because you're kind of stuck homeless with nowhere to go and no real prospects of life, and aren't really sure if you want to be a party animal anymore because it hasn't worked out for you. And that little example is unfortunately based on a true story, because that does happen to people. Fortunately, the true story that I heard was by someone who was talking about what had happened to him. And he'd had that identity crisis and decided he didn't really want to be that party animal anymore, that it wasn't worth the consequences. And so he did end up cleaning up his life and reconciling with his family and going to church and getting a steady job. And even though he still likes to have a good time, his identity is not, I need to be at every party and be doing all this stuff. Because he found out that identity has consequences and it was not worth those consequences. And so that was a good story. There are bad stories as well. Some people don't end up with a happy ending. Sometimes they end up in the hospital after a drug overdose or a DUI or worse. And some people learn to maybe tone things down a bit so that they aren't completely broke all the time but still end up being a party animal as far as they can. There are sad stories as well. There are good stories where people hit that identity crisis and decide, I don't want to deal with the consequences of this anymore. I want to be a different person. And then some people don't change and stick with the identity that they've had. An identity crisis can be a really good thing. It can be the thing that helps someone realize, I don't want to keep going down this path I've been on. I don't want to be destroying myself anymore. I want to change. I want to be a different person. And other times, it doesn't happen, and they end up being destroyed by their decisions about who they want to be. Sometimes people have to learn the hard way that the identity they've chosen is a bad one. And that is what happened to Israel. A little after the time of Josiah, Israel was carried away to Babylon because they had chosen a bad identity. Because the identity of Judah at that point was the identity of a group of people who technically had this god that they were supposed to worship, but they didn't worship him. They worshipped all these idols, and they were completely corrupt, and bribes were what paid your way through, and if you didn't have any money, you got killed if they didn't like you, and all these really horrible things that you can see in many third world countries nowadays. And God didn't like that and destroyed them for it. So we have to be very careful when we're picking our identities. We don't want to end up like Israel. I've heard people complain before about how they feel sometimes like they're a slave to their future self. As in, they do all this stuff because, you know, it'll be good for you in the future. I have to work hard in school because, you know, eventually in the future it'll be useful. I have to pay my insurance now because eventually in the future, you know, it'll save me. I have to put away stuff for retirement because eventually in the future, you know, I'll be able to use that. And they kind of feel like a slave, you know? I have to do all these things for this guy in the future who I don't even know yet. But that's actually not true, because right now I actually have a choice whether or not I'm going to serve my future self or not. I have a choice whether or not I want to stay in school and get that degree or whether I want to drop out. I have a choice whether I put money into my retirement fund or not. You're not a slave if you have a choice. A slave is someone who doesn't have a choice whether to serve. If you have a choice, you're a free man. You can choose whether to do it or not. However, if you make bad choices in your past, you become a slave to them, because whether or not you like them or not, you now have to deal with them in the future. If last night I stayed up super late, I am tired today. I don't have a choice about that. I'm going to be tired whether I like it or not because of a bad choice I made in the past. So you're not a slave to your future self because you still have a choice. But you are a slave to your past self. So make good decisions now so that the consequences that you have to deal with later are going to be good ones, and you're not stuck being a slave to a really horrible past self. One more thing. You might think about, like, picking an identity is a really important decision. So if it's an important decision, you should spend a lot a lot of time thinking about it and make sure, you know, you get the right one. And that's good thinking up to a point. But you do eventually have to pick an identity. There's a verse in James I alluded to before that says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Or as a particular West African proverb puts it, which I particularly like, the man who tries to walk down two roads will split his pants. If you're constantly changing your identity, if you're constantly going, well, today I want to be a veterinarian, and then a few weeks later, actually I want to be a physicist, and a few weeks later, oh, really I've decided to go into the trades and I want to be a blacksmith, and you just keep changing your identity, eventually your identity becomes the person who can't figure out their identity. So is it definitely worthwhile to put some thought into who you want to be? Yes, but make a decision at some point. Because if you just keep swapping it around and never make a commitment, then your identity becomes someone who can never make a commitment and never knows who they are. And part of Israel's problem really was that they kind of knew who they should be, but they didn't want to really be that, and they didn't really make a commitment to God and ended up making, and eventually what they ended up becoming was an absolute disaster. Now, for us, we have an identity that a lot of us have chosen, because when we were baptized, we have decided to take on the identity of Jesus Christ. That's what it talks about in Romans 6, verse 4, when it says, therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too may live a new life. This whole concept of taking on a new life is a new identity. It's the same idea. When we're baptized, what we're saying is I'm going to leave off my old identity where I was serving myself, and I'm going to take on a new identity, an identity where I'm serving Christ, a new life in Christ. And obviously, for some people, that's going to be a bigger crisis than for others. If you've always been raised at Christadelphian, it might not be as much of a new life as if you were raised as a Muslim and now have decided to take on a new identity as a Christian. There will be different amounts of crisis in this. But for all of us, the inherent idea is, I am changing my identity. That's what baptism means. And so for us who have been baptized, what we have very publicly said is we have an identity that we have chosen. The identity we have chosen is as followers of Jesus Christ. But if we as Christians, that's our identity that we've chosen, we have to be careful, because just because we said we're going to follow Jesus Christ, just because that's our identity, doesn't mean all Christians act the same way. There's this quote that Gandhi may or may not have said. You can look that part up on the internet. But I think it's a powerful quote anyway. And it's a quote where he goes, I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. And that's a scary quote. Because we might call ourselves Christians. We might say we have this identity where we're followers of Jesus Christ. But we might not actually be following Jesus Christ. If we're following somebody that we think is Jesus Christ, but is not actually Jesus Christ, we're just confused. Jesus talks about the same concept in Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23. This one's one of the scarier verses in the Bible, which is why I bring it up a lot, because it scares me every time I read it. This is Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23, right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons and do many powerful deeds? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you lawbreakers. I don't want that to be what happens at judgment, where Jesus goes, I actually have no idea who you are. You weren't following me. You were following someone, but not me. That's really scary. And so the only way to actually be a Christian, someone who's following Jesus, is to know what Jesus did. Because if we don't know, then I don't know who we're following, but it's not Jesus. So to find out what Jesus actually was like, we have to read the Bible. Fortunately, there's a lot of stuff in here about what Jesus was like. So if we want to find out what Jesus was like, if we want to take on his identity, we have to read. And that's why doing daily Bible readings is actually a really important thing. Because if we don't read about what Jesus was like in the Bible, or maybe listen to classes about what Jesus was like, or at least take in somehow into us who Jesus was like, if we try and say we're Christians, we're probably lying, because we don't know who Jesus is like. How can you follow Jesus if you don't know Jesus Christ? And Unfortunately, there are Christians who do that. There are Christians who do horrible things. In Nigeria right now, there's a whole lot of violence between Christians and Muslims, and I don't think Jesus would support massacring people like they're doing in Nigeria right now. I think they're following Jesus, and they're not. And there are people like that. In John 16, Jesus talks to his disciples, and he says, "I've said these things to you so that you won't lose your faith. You will be thrown out of synagogues. Certainly the time is coming when people who murder you will think that they are serving God, and they will do these things to you because they haven't known the Father or me." If you don't know who God is, if you don't know who Jesus is, then you can think you're serving him when you're not serving him. And that's exactly what has happened throughout history. People have persecuted Christians or Jews or people who think that they're following God have done horrible things like persecuting other Christians just because they think they're doing the right thing, that these people are evil heretics and they need to be destroyed. And they do it because they don't know who God is. Again, in 1 John 4, 7 and 8, "Dear friends, we must love each other because love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born from God and knows God. The person who doesn't love doesn't know God because God is love." If you ever hear someone going, "You know, we need a little less love in here. I'm not sure Jesus was so into this love thing," that person clearly doesn't know who Jesus is. Sending a red flag out to everyone, because as that verse clearly said, God is love. If you don't love, you don't know God. And I wish that was a completely facetious example. Nobody had ever said something like that. But it happens. People don't get who God is. And that's why it's so important for us to do stuff like come here on a Sunday and talk about who God is, why we do our Bible readings, why we get together with other people who also know God, so that we can help each other truly understand who God is, so that we can be Christians. Because if you don't know who God is, if you don't know who Jesus is, you can't be a Christian. We've chosen an identity. All of us who have been baptized here have chosen an identity to be followers of Jesus Christ. But if we don't follow Jesus Christ, we're just confused. We don't really have an identity. And like Israel, we'll be destroyed because we're kind of stuck in that sort of middle ground and splitting our pants trying to walk down two roads. So, as we come together now to follow Christ's command, to remember him in bread and wine, try to remember who we are, why we're here, that we've chosen an identity to be Christians, to follow Jesus Christ. And we don't want to walk down two roads at the same time. We don't want to be stuck being double-minded. We've chosen an identity. Let's keep following it. It's a high calling. It's a challenge. Following Jesus Christ is not necessarily an easy thing to do, but it's an identity we've chosen. And so let's try to live up to it.